Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had in the beginning of the Sermon of the Mount. We thank you for the challenge it has been for us to consider what the blessed life is, the kingdom life that you speak of, that you welcome us into. We ask, Father, that as we look at these last few verses, that you would help us to see what it means to be salt and light, and that we would live out those lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start with a question for you. Is Christianity good for the world? Is it a blessing? Or is it a curse? Different views about that in our world abound. Some, of course, see the many positives that Christianity has brought to the world. For example, the end of slavery. William Wilberforce, a key leader in the movement that would bring an end to the slave trade, was a committed Christian who saw this work of abolishing slavery as an outflowing of his faith. He said this famously, "God Almighty has set before me two great objects, the suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of manners," that is, morality. And on a smaller scale, consider the way that when someone becomes a Christian, as they seek to live a life of love, it makes a significant impact in their life and a positive impact in their relationships. I remember talking to the parents of a guy who'd become a Christian in his late teens. And his parents had been amazed and deeply grateful for the complete change in their son's attitude. He now wanted to spend time with them. And he was looking for ways to be kind and helpful in the house. A remarkable change. Christianity is a great benefit in the world. But others, of course, see the damage that Christianity and other religions do in the world. The wars fought in the name of Christianity and other religions, when really they're about money and power. The awful abuses that have taken place in the church, and that have all too often been covered up by the church as well. The renowned atheist journalist and author Christopher Hitchens once wrote about this topic, and he said this: "Violent, irrational, intolerant, allied to racism and tribalism and bigotry, invested in ignorance and hostile to free inquiry, contemptuous of women and coercive towards children, organized religion ought to have a great deal on its conscience." I'm sure we'd all have some objections to that quote. I don't agree with it. And of course, he's writing in a polemic way. He wants to create a reaction, doesn't he? But you can understand his viewpoint. It's such a mixed bag, isn't it, as we look at Christianity and its impact in the world. But maybe the problem isn't Christianity, but the engagement bit with the world around us. That perhaps the best thing to do is to keep our Christianity private. This seems to be the solution in our day, doesn't it? You do you, and I'll do me. And so we let the blessed life be a personal and private life. But as we come to this passage today, that's not really a tenable position. Unless, of course, you want to disagree with Jesus. And in that case, well, you do you, and I'll do me. What does the blessed life have to do with the world around us? Our passage today tells us to be salt and light. It's a very famous line, isn't it? But what does it actually mean? Well, let's have a look at both of these to see how the blessed life connects with the world. And a reminder of those three aspects that we should have in the back of our mind to help us understand this Sermon on the Mount. How would the disciples have understood Jesus? How is this fulfilled in Jesus? And therefore, what does it mean for us who follow Jesus? Well, let's look at the salt bit first. Verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Jesus is again focusing in on his disciples. You are the salt of the earth. It's that move from the more general comment on the kingdom at the beginning with the Beatitudes to the more specific application to his disciples. It started in verse 11 and it continues here. So what's going on with the salt? Today, the phrase can mean something a bit different if you want to be salty. It could be being a bit upset and grumpy, or alternatively, being a bit coarse, no pun intended. So it's worth considering what the disciples would have thought about what it meant to be salty. In those days, salt was used as a flavour enhancer and as a preservative, just like it is today. In essence, salt is something that provides a benefit to other things. The disciples are the salt of the earth. Jesus' point is that the disciples are to be a benefit to those around them. And in fact, Jesus will go further than that. He observes that salt that has lost its saltiness is useless. The implication, of course, that it is that if the disciples are not a blessing to the world, they are useless as unsalty salt. Like eating chips that just don't have enough salt on them. They're just bland, nothing, aren't they, really? Throw them out, trample on them, as Jesus has told us to do. Those who live the kingdom life are to be a blessing to others. They are to provide a positive impact to the world around them. The whole point of their kingdom living is to benefit others, kind of like an assistant. I don't have a personal assistant, and so I don't know what it's like, but I'm sure Craig enjoys having three of them. I joke. Love you, Craig. But the whole point of an assistant is to assist, isn't it? To help. And so if they're not helping their boss, well, they're useless. Probably should be fired. Kingdom people are those who are salt to others, enhancing the lives of those around them. Care and concern for those around us and working for their good. Usually we just call this love. Of course, we see this most clearly in Jesus, the one who came to serve, not be served, who came into the world to give blessing to others, giving his life out of love for the world. So those who, like the disciples, live the blessed life, the blessed kingdom life, are to follow the example of Jesus. Being salt in the world is bringing benefit and blessing to the world around us. And so what does that look like? Well, as I mentioned earlier, I don't think it's anything new. It's simply acting in love towards others, considering the needs of others, and seeking to love them and act for their good. And I think there's two aspects to speak about as we consider being salt of the earth. First, because we see religion as a private thing, have we been living our lives in a way that is too self-focused and private? Do we think of the needs of others and how we might serve them? Or are we just trying to do what we can for us and as? I feel, and you might agree with me here, that in this current COVID moment, it's so easy to do that. Just focus on me and mine, forget everybody else. It feels like I'm in survival mode, and so my field of vision has narrowed. And I don't think I'm alone in this, and I think this is why Gladys each day keeps hammering the point that we must be thinking of others. Because at this lockdown, in this lockdown season, because of our fear and worry, but also because of our sinful selfishness, it's just so easy to just care about ourselves. But friends, we need to lift our eyes beyond our lockdown bunkers. Not just concentrate on surviving, but consider how we might be a blessing to others, even in this hard moment. Those in Jesus' kingdom are to be salt to the world, focused on loving others, just as Jesus did. That was the first point. Second, as we raise our eyes to others, how can we be a blessing to the world around us? As those who are driven by love, love for God and love for one another, there is a remarkable impact that we can have on the world around us. And I think it's worth saying before we get into that, that we're not speaking just about doing what's called social justice. It's not just doing what the world thinks is a good thing to do. I want to try and clarify some stuff here. Because some of the ways that we will be salt in the world will not actually be applauded and agreed on in the world. We live a kingdom life, a life that seeks to live and love others as God deems good and loving. The world around us is not always in tune with that. And as we heard last week, living that life of love and righteousness, being salt in the world, will bring persecution. If we seek to support a single parent who we know, we'd get a round of applause from the world. If we seek to advocate for the rights of the unborn child, we may not. Being salt in the world is bringing God's goodness to the world. It's about doing all the practical things that we're told about in the Bible. It's nothing new. Having good marriages that bless children and the communities that they're part of. Raising children in safety and care and teaching them to love Jesus. Setting them an example of what it is to love and serve others so that they might do the same. Being the blessing in your office as you work with honesty and care. The person who treats others with love and treats people like they're people, not just resources. And as you do so, you can impact your workplace for its good, as people see your example and are influenced by it. And as we consider our particular COVID lockdown moment, what are we doing to be a blessing to those around us? There's a lot of people who are struggling, aren't there? How can we be caring for others? Checking in with people on the phone. Organising food deliveries for people when they're having a hard time. I actually heard about a couple of these things happening in our church community over the last little while. That's great. That's an example of caring for one another. Helping people keep connected in the midst of the lockdown. Particularly important for those who live by themselves or don't have that connection point with others and struggle like with mental health stuff as well. Can you be the one who organises the Zoom social or the group chat? And as you do so, invite others in. Be intentional in that. Your friends, your family, the school community, those who you know who are struggling at the moment particularly. The effort to organise that stuff feels like a lot, doesn't it? But I think if you've been part of one of those socials, you know how good it is at the end of it, how much it's uplifted your spirit. I was part of a game night on Zoom the other week, and, you know, the complex, you know, being on Zoom again, and it's not going to be the same as normal, but at the end, it was a really positive thing. What is the one thing that you can do this week to bless others? What is the way that you can be kingdom salt? You are the salt of the earth. Move on to light, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Again, Jesus speaking to his disciples, they are the light of the world. And he gives two illustrations about light, the bowl and the city on the hill. And the point is similar to the salt, isn't it? The purpose of the light is to shine on things, to provide illumination. And so it doesn't belong under a bowl. It shouldn't be hidden. It sort of defeats the purpose of having a light. Those who live the blessed kingdom life are to be those who shine their light. That's their purpose. So what does it mean to shine your light? The song lyric, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, came into my head. You'll be grateful I didn't sing it. Is this just about letting your personality leap out, or, you know, your talent or something? Well, light's not an unfamiliar concept in the gospel. Back in Matthew 4, we read about light being shone. Chapter 4, verse 13, leaving Nazareth, he, that is Jesus, went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The light that the prophet Isaiah is speaking about in Matthew 4 is the light of the kingdom, the light of the gospel, the light that Jesus himself comes to shine, for he is the light of the world. And so this light that the disciples to shine is the same, it's the gospel light. But it's not simply about talking, is it? We have this bit at the end of that little section about their good deeds that will be seen. The light and their deeds are connected somehow. So let's think about that. Now, first, it's worth saying that shining a light can't simply be about just the deeds, about doing good things to other people. Otherwise, it'd be no different to the salt, and Jesus would be just saying the same thing twice. So there is something specific going on with the light. And so let's consider the metaphor of light. Light is for the benefit of others. It reveals things, doesn't it? And kind of in the Bible and other things, it's connected with life. Jesus is the light of the world. He reveals the kingdom. He offers life, the blessed life, to those who follow him. And that came not only as he came and did these incredible miracles and other good things to people, but he proclaimed amazing things about the kingdom, just as he's doing here in this sermon. This kingdom shining is something that is done in word and deed. And now his disciples are also to shine this kingdom light in word and deed. So for us to shine our light before others, this gospel light, we need to consider this word and deed aspect of it. So let's consider the deed aspect first. And it's basically what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, isn't it? Living that blessed kingdom life, being salt, blessing others. And we display the work of God in us so that others can see the blessing of the gospel and following Jesus. We live the blessed life so that other people can see the blessed gospel life, the blessed kingdom life, sorry. And themselves can see the goodness of God. But as we saw last week, this kingdom living will invite persecution. It's not just about doing nice things. This is what Peter speaks about in 1 Peter 2. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This shining the gospel light in our deeds is not just about being nice to everybody, but it's about doing what is good and right for them as defined by God. It's being salt. It's setting an example for our children of how we use alcohol and warning them about when they get invited to parties, even though it gets us that eye roll. We're to shine light as we do the good deeds God has prepared for us. But I want to say, it's not just preach the gospel and if necessary use words, if you've heard that saying, stupid saying. Jesus lived the kingdom word and kingdom life, and he chose to use words. So should we. These deeds will not be seen in their correct context unless we explain that to people. We live lives that seek to do good, a good that is different to what the people in the world might think. And the only way that people will understand that we are doing good for them and doing good in the eyes of God is if we explain that to them. And that's where the words come in with our deeds. We shine light as we speak gospel words of Jesus to people. We share the light of the gospel with others so that they might see that our lives are not just by happenstance happen to be nice and friendly, but it's because we've been radically changed by our Lord Jesus to live lives of self-sacrificial love and blessing to others. It's because of the gospel that we live this way. We need to connect our deeds with our words. So how are we going with shining light during lockdown? It's way harder, isn't it? So hard. All those incidental connections that we had in the day-to-day life are gone. The short convo at the school gate, the chat as you make coffee with someone at work, chatting with people at the gym, catching up with family, all gone. Well, in that kind of incidental way, all those regular casual connections are gone at the moment. And everything needs intentionality, doesn't it? Which is why it's also draining. If you want to catch up with someone who you normally just see at church or at the office or, you know, like at somewhere, you now need to touch base with them and organise a time to then have another phone call. And that's all just so exhausting. Why, you know, and that's why we're caught in this moment where we're not having those connections, and the thought of actually going out and looking for them is even more tiring. Can I encourage you, be the one who takes the initiative? Make the call. Send the text. Organise that catch up and a walk. Be the one who looks to connect with people, that you might share the gospel light with them. Now, if you need some ideas or tips, there was a great workshop that was run here at St. Mark's last year by Scott Maxwell, and he talked about how to connect with people during lockdown, to share the gospel with them. Now, you can actually find it on our in the resources section on our website. And if you want to put it on your communication card, we can send you the link as well. Loads of great practical help there and tips. Those who live the blessed life are to shine gospel light to others in word and deed. And that's how many people become Christians, isn't it? They see the lives of Christians and how distinct they are. And they ask questions. And then they ask questions of their Christian friends, or their Christian friend speaks to them of the gospel and the gospel that made them so different. That's how, I mean, you probably know stories like that. The one that popped into my brain was of Al Stewart. He's a renowned evangelist and Bible teacher here in Sydney, and that's how he became a Christian. He was in university and he lived in one of the colleges, and he couldn't get over how different one of the guys in his hall was. His life seemed so different, and he wanted it. And his friend was a Christian, and so spoke to him about it, told him about the gospel. The light of the gospel shone out in word and deed, and Al became a follower of Jesus. Who's watching your life? How can you shine the light of the gospel on them? You are the light of the world. In essence, hopefully we've seen this morning, being salt and light is about public kingdom living. Kingdom people who live the blessed life in the world with the goal of being a blessing to others. Christianity is good for the world. It is good because those who follow Jesus follow his example of seeking to bless others, loving them, seeking their good. And going back to William Wilberforce, who we talked about at the beginning, this great Christian slavery abolitionist, he saw the goal of religion in the public sphere as this: He said this, Is it not the great end of religion, and in particular the glory of Christianity, to extinguish the malignant passions, to curb the violence, to control the appetites, and to smooth the asperities of man, to make us compassionate and kind and forgiving to one another, to make us good husbands, good fathers, good friends, and to render us active and useful in the discharge of the relative social and civic duties. Can you picture a world where this might be the case? The blessing for the world, if the blessed life of Christians took hold in it, played out in it. Imagine if people sought to live for the good of each other. Where families work through their squabbles in forgiveness and kindness and patience and love, rather than holding on to their pride and their anger. Where your colleagues at work weren't all out for themselves, but compromised to ensure the best outcome for everyone. Where our society actually worked towards justice and care for the vulnerable, the poor, the abused, the disadvantaged. Can you imagine what this world would look like? This is the world that is coming in our Lord Jesus. And as we live in this world now, this current world, we are to be the blessing, the light and the salt that seeks to give people a taste of this future life to come. We live in a kingdom way, in all the avenues and opportunities that God gives us, that people might see and taste, and taste and see that the Lord is good. The blessed life is one that blesses others in word and deed. So let's be salt and shine as light. Amen.